From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Here we are once again on a Thursday night on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. This is a show called The Dice Men Cometh. It's a show about board games and role-playing games and card games and even online games that are all somehow part of a hobby that is more embarrassing than pornography.
There might also be vampire games as well, Trent.
True.
And people may dress up.
All of these things harder to bring up in conversation than even pornography.
Good thing we weren't talking about this on episode 69.
Ooh. My name's Trent.
I'm Mark.
I'm Garth.
What's coming up in the show tonight?
We have got a show full of goodness. We've got snow down to 300 metres, but we're tucked here in the nice warm little studio to talk about some things like Mice and Mystics. A couple of guys have been playing that. We're going to talk about Munchkin Money. We're going to talk about all the latest news. We're going to talk about some games that have caught our eye because of their interesting and unusual names. Lots of things to talk about tonight.
Garth, just put another log on the fire, would you mind? Please?
I'll get the marshmallows too.
Thank you. All right, this is The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Young Franco taking flight. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Trent, Mark and Garth on The Dice Men Cometh. I'm devastated.
Why?
That I can't... I haven't been able to launch the show with
yes.
one of my hot metal.
Hang on.
Tunes.
Is that a good impression?
That's better.
Lovely.
Yeah, sorry
Thanks
about that.
That Mark.
Sorry about that, fans of the hot metal tune. Computer says no tonight. Oh. So we're moving on and talking about games that we've been playing lately, and a game of mice that has me a little cheesed off.
Ooh. How long did it take you to write that?
Not long. Mice and Mystics. Garth, you and I have been playing this on and off for, gee, it feels about like about 15 years now.
I think so. Yeah, when all of our children were very, very tiny, we tried to get it to the table for the first time. And now, what was it, 18 months after the first session?
And I know that because I track every single board game I play on the Board Game Geek app, because that's how big a nerd I am.
Indeed. So we went back into it again. And we thought we'd start from the beginning again. And, well, do you want to set it up? Do you want to tell everyone what this game's all about?
Mice and Mystics is a 2012 game from Plaid Hat Games, who are renowned for, I think, innovative storytelling kind of games and really, really great productions as well. Everything that Plaid Hat puts out has that really nice matte sheen on all the boxes.
Yep.
I work in printing a little bit, so I love a good matte sheen.
And this was their first. They had Summoner Wars, but this was their first foray into that sort of story based world that they have just taken that bull by the horns and run with it.
It's been a huge hit for them as well. 1-4 players. It's a cooperative dungeon crawl type adventure in which the players are mice. Essentially.
Well, you're not really mice. You've been magically transformed into mice.
It pitches itself as being a fairy tale adventure over a series of episodes that you play through. And it's got this really, long, very sort of serious, these big passages of text that sort of give you the backstory, and they're kind of completely unnecessary. You don't really.
But I think you've got to look at this as I wrote it down, saying it's a great intro to role playing style games.
Because
the mechanics of it are so simple, which is great, which is why we got it out with our respective children, because it's not as complicated as Descent or something that has a few more mechanics in it. It's a really good introduction version. And I think the storytelling relates that. I mean, it's very much like the children's fairy tale style.
Look, that's fine in theory, okay? But you've got paragraphs and paragraphs of text about the king who was widowed and has a new queen, and lo and behold, she's an evil sorceress. Dun, dun, dun! Blah, 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 blah. All these chapters of material that you sort of have to wade through in order to then sit down and actually play the game. And you can just skip over all that, because ultimately you've just got to get from A to B and get the thing and then get back out.
Exactly.
But don't the kids love that? The setup.
Well,
the
ours,
story.
Ours haven't. That's,
really?
That's the,
they're
that's
rolling the their eyes going, get on with it.
Because it's you've got to sit there on your bum listening to this story. Yeah. And so I just kind of skim through all that stuff. Players get a character card with their basic abilities on it. They get weapon cards to add to that. That's one thing I do really like about the game, because the I guess similar to Descent, you can only carry so many things in your backpack or in each hand or that kind of thing. You got equipment. It's all fully customizable. Looks lovely. And there's a dice combat system that's not entirely unlike Descent.
Yeah, okay.
Although without the range rules, which makes it work. But probably my favourite mechanic in the whole thing is the wheel-o cheese.
The wheel-o cheese, yep, I wrote that down too.
So when you're rolling those combat dice, there are little cheese symbols on them. You get actual little cardboard slices of cheese and you add to those. I think if you can build up six of those yourself, you effectively go up a level.
Yeah, you upgrade and you get another ability, because again, similar to Descent, you have various points that you get to use, and cheese is one of those points where you get to buy another card, and then you can spend cheese to use the ability on that card.
Yeah, so it's like your experience points, the
correct.
Cheese.
Oh, yeah, right. But do you spend the cheese to activate your various special abilities or save them to get that new big juicy cheesy fromage one? Except when the bad guys roll cheese on the same dice, that gets added to a little area of the board where there's a little wheel of cheese, and when that fills up, it triggers what's called a surge, which is just extra monsters coming out. And also... It's a good kind of time mechanic as well, because if you're hanging around too long on a particular section of the game, then you get extra cheese, and it advances the story forward. Okay. It keeps the impetus rolling. It's probably my single favorite thing about it.
Yeah, well, it's all about making sure you're moving constantly, because you've really only got the opportunity to fight, move, or search, and you can only do a search once per room per character. So, you know, the emphasis is really to kill all the bad guys, get to the next room.
Yeah, okay.
Rinse and repeat. It's a
DM or GM-less story.
Yeah, so. It's all got scenarios. So I think, look, I really like it, but I think, you know, we have experienced when we've been playing that it's probably too long for kids.
Oh, my God, yes.
And it's too simple for adults. Oh, so it doesn't really, I think, know where it's meant to stand.
Yes.
You know, if it was half as long, the kids, I think, would love it. And if it was a lot more meaty, then it would basically be Mice Descent. So, I just don't really know where it fits. It looks great. It plays. I really have a fun time, and I would like to play it with a bunch of adults, because I reckon you could get it through pretty quickly.
You want this to work so much, because the miniatures as well, those gorgeous, very highly detailed little mice miniatures. Mm. And if you look on Board Game Geek, you'll see amazing paint jobs that people have done on them. But it just falls into that middle ground where... It's sillier than Descent, which is already pretty bloody silly, but it's too serious and too much of a slog for the kids.
Exactly. Now, my son loved it. He loved sitting there and analysing. He loved being, was it Kevin? Kevin the leader or whatever his name was. I can't even remember anymore. Colin the leader.
Colin, yeah.
So he loved that. But, you know, he was in the zone. But, you know, your daughter, she sort of came in and out and, you know, wasn't so into it at that time, which makes it hard to play, because ends up that the parents are the ones doing all the movement and saying, get back here, it's your turn.
Yeah, and look, Pearl doesn't want to play this because there's not nearly enough feeding Dad to the zombies in this game. The other thing that's a mark against this for me, and I say this in the full knowledge that there are multiple expansions for Mice and Mystics, and it's hugely popular. Mark, you and I tried to play a couple of games of Risk Legacy.
Oh, yes.
All right, which is still going on somewhere. I don't know, we got like about four or five games into it.
Yeah, we played five or six, I think.
We're halfway through somewhere in a Descent campaign.
Mm-hmm.
These long, extended campaigns, multiple evenings, I'm finding them too hard to get to the table.
Yes, and I guess we've said all along, you know, it's great to have games that sort of are fill-ins for role-playing when you can't get to role-playing. But when they drag on like this, you may as well be role-playing. You may as well get your kids into a simple, you know, like D&D adventure, or even some of the systems that are created for younger folks. you may as well spend the same time, because you are going to spend about the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we said, or I've said many times with Pathfinder, like, yes, it creates a role-playing game substitute, but by the time you sink so much time into it, you may as well have just role-played and got the full experience. And it sounds like this is quite similar, although it does look beautiful, I must admit. I have never played it, and I've always wanted to.
Yeah, look, I want to like it. I want to play it. But yeah, I think it's confused. I just don't know. I don't know who the right group is for it. Maybe slightly older kids than ours. I don't know. I don't think it has the depth for adults. Although I'd like to play it with a bunch of adults and see how quickly it can be played, and you know whether you can get into it a bit more. But again, for the younger kids, it's too much of a hard slog.
I've played it once with a group of adults, and it's actually not that easy of a game necessarily.
Okay.
I think there's a little bit of chaos going on in it, and it can punch you in the face.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you think beverages would make it better?
Beverages make everything better.
Well,
mice and mead and mystics.
The reason I ask is I wanted to mention super briefly, because I'm sure we've got a few more seconds before we go to music, a game I saw on Kickstarter, and I know we're not doing Kickstarter this week, called Alewood. It's a Wild West game, but you have a wooden gun that is actually a ruler. And how you determine how many bullets you have is you hold this wooden gun ruler up against the side of your glass. And you see the level of your drink, that's how many bullets you have. And the further you are through your drink, the less bullets you have. But sometimes the more abilities you have. It looks fascinating to me.
Okay.
And
with
how
these
much,
sort of wooden rulers.
How much do you have to pledge for this game? $90 plus $100 postage?
Look, I didn't even make a note of that. It's just, hey,
but it's made
drink,
a few in
drinking
fine, isn't
and
it?
Games just go really well together for me.
Okay, more of this kind of banter, you know, which has been fabulous so far. What are we doing next?
We're going to talk about the news, aren't we?
We're going to do the news next?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Plus a little giveaway for some of our listeners.
Oh, yes.
Which we have to talk about later. This is Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, with a show called The Dice Man Cometh and a song by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard, who didn't leave us any little fade out there, the burning bastards, with their song, what was it called? Cellophane, with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Now, for those of you who weren't paying attention earlier, Trent, what episode number is it and what's the date today?
Thank you. It's episode 70. We are recording on Thursday, May 7th.
Thank you very much. I'm supposed to
be in the habit of telling people that. Now, because this show does get rebroadcast as it, well, it gets edited into a podcast, which is available on iTunes.
Absolutely.
If you're listening now live, you can listen again.
Absolutely. You can't get enough of us.
Exactly.
Now, look, something we did forget to mention last week, for our local Hobart listeners, there's something happening at the moment called Hobart by Night. Surely Hobart's got enough nightlife happening, but no, there's more. If you want to dress up as a vampire and run around the streets of Hobart...
And well, let's face it, who doesn't?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm doing that right now.
Or maybe just the Lenner Valley Guides Hall. A group are doing a live action role play, or LARP.
And we should point out that the Lena Valley Girl Guides are not in attendance while this is happening. We're merely using the venue.
So it's the Vampire the Masquerade world, so which is a famous collectible card game world and role-playing world as well, I think. They're using that sort of universe. It's held at the Lena Valley Guides Hall every first Saturday of the month, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. They do have a Facebook page, facebook.com/vtm.hobartbynight, or you can email hobart.by.night@gmail.com. It's also been posted on our page, so if you want to jump on there and have a look, if you want to dress up like a vampire and not kill anyone, you can do that.
Thanks for the tip. All right, gaming news. Congratulations to Ted Olspach, the creator of Castles of Mad King Ludwig, which is now a Mensa Select winner.
Yes, I saw that.
So considered one of the finest games by the Mensa Group.
Well, and the interesting thing is...
the intelligentsia of gaming.
You know, I was going to say, over the years, they hardly ever pick one of... inverted commas, our style of games. They're usually very puzzly, very mathy, and almost unheard of by most mainstream gamers. So it's fantastic that he's done that.
Not the only game that's won this year, but certainly the one with the highest profile in our little world, in our little corner of the internet.
Hmm.
Who got sucked into the game Killer Bunnies?
I've seen it at a lot of game shops. I've never played it.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, I've
played it.
There's
about a million expansions, isn't there?
Yeah.
I've played it, and it was sort of exactly the same. I was like, there must be something to this, and there wasn't. And, you know, I would be happy never, ever, ever to play it again.
Well, designer Jeffrey Neil Bellinger is doing it again.
Oh, good.
He's got a game called Trap, and there are already two versions of it out. And would it surprise you to learn that you can mix the two versions together to create one mega version?
What an amazingly innovative mechanic.
Trap Zany Zombies and Trap Nimble Ninjas, described as a fast, deductive, dice rolling and card game of trying to trap creatures. My advice is to run like hell. Unlike this next title, this is I'm actually rather interested in this. AEG and Pegasus Spiel will be combining to re-release the classic political satire game. Listen, I never know how to pronounce this. Is it Junta or Yunta or Yunta?
Junta.
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 Junta. They're going to be releasing it for Gen Con at the end of July. Now, this originally came out in 1978. It had a sequel in 2010, of all things. It's been in and out of print over the years. Always been highly regarded. Garth, here's the pitch.
Okay,
all right.
I'm listening.
Okay, so players elect a president from among them, from among themselves.
Gotcha.
Now, that already sounds fraught with danger, doesn't it? Because you've got to pick someone. The president then distributes a budget of cards as they see fit in secret, cards face down. And players can then spend that budget by trying to get more money by assassinating each other.
And there's also bribes, and there's also the president giving out titles and all this sort of stuff.
This to
set in your typical sort of banana republic.
So full of dirty tricks and inbuilt tensions that I can see why this is very highly regarded, even though, you know, 1978 back in the day. So I don't know if the rules are getting a little bit of a dust off, but it's going to be a brand new edition available later in the year. Stronghold Games have got a release coming up of Dark Moon. Have you heard of this one, guys? Dark Moon?
I remember reading something about it a few months ago, but I can't remember in what context.
It's interesting because it started life as a print and play. It was essentially a fan mod of Battlestar Galactica, which takes approximately how long to play?
12
Forever.
Days.
Yeah. This one supposedly can give you the same experience in 75 minutes.
Ooh.
Instead, so it was a print and play called BSG Express, played with the Fantasy Flight title, but it's getting a full-blown production. It's replaced Cylons with Infected, and of course you don't know who's who.
Yes.
Plays 3 to 7, sounds interesting to me. Okay, now, gentlemen, time to fess up.
Okay,
when was the last time either of you played Marvel Dice Masters?
I almost bought a little booster pack yesterday just because I felt obligated when I was in Melbourne in a friendly local game shop to buy something.
Couldn't spare the $2?
Couldn't find that $2 coin.
I don't think I've played it since I got the... our friend Dave, our podcast producer, put me onto those... they're effectively mouse mats, but they're designed to be used in that game, and it's got great art and everything. They're fantastic. Since I've got them, I don't think I've ever played the game.
Yeah, I'm the same, because you got me to buy some as well. We should have a competition sometime.
It's crap, it's crap, it's crap, it's crap.
No.
I don't know how much plainer I can say it.
It's selling like hotcakes,
though.
And I must say, that the couple of times I did play it, I really liked it. I've been playing a bit of Quarriors lately, and you can see certainly that you know, Quarriors transitioned into Dice Masters.
Oh, you mean was stolen by...
Just, you know, updated maybe. But no, Quarriors just came out as an iPad app as well. So, you know, you sort of think, oh, does this mean that you're going to get a Dice Masters app as well?
Well, I actually did buy, after getting Dice Masters, I did actually get Quarriors, and I found I enjoyed Quarriors much more.
Okay.
I think because it didn't have this hokey pasted on theme that, you know, Hulk was a dice and Iron Man was a dice and they didn't really do anything, you know, whereas they're just dice.
If you want to get Spider-Man as a dice, he'll be available in November.
Spider-Dice.
Halo Miniatures Space Battle game, anyone?
Hang on, you didn't mention, you know they're about to release the D&D Dice Master game. Faerun Adventures or something like that.
Well, you know what I have to say about that.
It's crap.
It's crap. It's crap. Don't do it. There are better things to spend your money on.
But the dice are pretty.
And those expansions, what are they, like $1.50 exactly, or $1.70. $2 or something? So cheap.
Speaking of tiny, pretty little pieces of plastic, Halo Miniatures, the space battle game. Do you want to send in those big, long ship things that look like the Sulaco from Aliens up against one of those giant Halo things? Sure. Surely, surely. Yeah, so, someone probably does, I assume. I don't know who they are. But anyway, this is coming from Spartan Games in the third quarter
of this year. So this is a miniatures game?
A miniatures space battle game based in the Halo universe as we continue to milk that particular lizard. Kevin Wilson, creator of Descent, Arkham Horror, etc., those big box games that take forever to play. He's got a new kind of thing coming out, although it's a card game from IDW. It's called Awesome Kingdom. And the first
title.
The first installment of it is The Tower of Hate Skull. It's
is this going to take 7 hours to play as well?
Well, look, it's kind of like Munchkin for dungeon crawls, I think. It's a very light... light-hearted card game. It's based... it looks a lot like the 80s cartoons, like Thundercats and stuff like that.
Voltron.
That we grew up with. Exactly. That's his inspiration for it. So that comes out in July. And finally, I just want to talk about a company that I've mentioned before in my news, and that's Cryptozoic, who were kind of remaking themselves, you know, repositioning themselves for world domination at the moment. We had the Schwartz from Area 52 in here talking about local distributors.
Yes.
And one of those that does deal with Australia is Diamond. They distribute basically all the comics, all the comic books in Australia. Now, Cryptozoic had an exclusive deal with Diamond Comic Distributors for its games that they signed in 2013. Given that they're now expanding into other toys and collectibles and more games, they're shaking up their distribution. And they have reneged on that deal, so they're going with other distributors. Ooh. Now, look, it's not really a big deal for us here in Australia because, of course, we only have limited distributors, but it does signal... It's the first time that any company that's had an exclusive deal with Diamond has reneged on it and looked elsewhere.
Oh.
So it does represent maybe the start of some kind of change in the industry. Maybe not. We'll just have to wait and see. Cryptozoic... clearly looking at the way they operate, though, because they've also ended their online sales of trading cards to punters.
Mm.
Okay, so if I was buying, I don't know, the Hobbit trading cards, if I wanted to collect the full set, I could go online and buy those blind packs, all right? Not anymore.
Oh, wow.
Cryptozoic have shut that down because they're listening to retailers who are saying, we need more reasons to get punters into our shops. So... they're working with retailers and making sure that that line of sale is the only one that's available.
So they've stopped selling that cardboard crack
online.
Wow.
Just online.
Wow, right. They must be bonkers. Dizzy Rascal and Armin van Helden with Bonkers, something that we often are accused of being. You're with Edge Radio 99.3 FM. It's a Dice Man Cometh.
He's the Segway King, isn't he? He comes in here on one of those Segways. He just comes in here, does his stuff, leaves the same way he came
in. Right. Puts on his Rosebank Stack hat.
I'm giving the fans what they want. You know, we've had many times comments.
More segways.
The show, more segways. Now... speaking of segues, that leads me into a game. I did notice during the week a game had a funny title and it had me a bit curious. Assassinorum Execution Force.
Yes.
Assassinorum
Execution Force. And I thought the same thing. I thought, what is this nonsense? Well, of course, it turns out, for those of us who know absolutely nothing about the 40K universe... this is especially based in that universe, and those people would be going, ha, that's not funny. We've known about the Assassinorum for years. It's some special branch within the Space Marines, Space Marine Assassins.
Really happy this is coming out because I'm still convinced there are not enough ways to play games in the Warhammer 40K universe. So this Assassinorum, I mean, it sounds a bit juvenile, but I'm prepared to be impressed by this. Mark, please tell us all about Assassinorum Execution Force.
It is a funny enough in the 40K universe. It's a miniatures game.
Ah, oh.
But it does have boards, and it probably resembles the most something like Space Hulk, where they've tried to bring, again, the 40K universe back into a board game. You're playing the Space Marine Assassins, the Assassinorum Execution Force, aforesaid, and you're taking on a Chaos Sorcerer.
Of course you are.
Now, apparently the other similarity it has to Space Hulk is that it's going to be limited quantities, limited edition. Now, remember the whole furor about, you know, there was a very limited print run of Space Hulk. People were paying, I think, up to $300 on eBay. And then, lo and behold,
they printed it again.
A whole new edition came out and upset people. There is a lot of talk that this may be the same thing. It's retailing, apparently, for $125, but it's been right up in the hotness in Board Game Geek, and that's why it caught my eye. And, you know, I did think the name was funny, and it made me think about some other funny name games.
That name, seriously, I mean, it just makes me want to take off my pants and start typing one-handed. Assassinorum! Someone turns 15 every day, you know?
It's going to appeal to 40K fans who know the stories and everything, because there is so much background story. But look, some of these other games I came across, they could appeal to people like us. How about, hey, Pa, there's a goat on the roof. Or...
What? Yeah. Hang on. So you've...
These are games...
Is this what you've been doing all week?
These are games on Board Game Geek. Hey, Pa, there's a goat on the roof. Followed closely by...
Wait. How do you play that?
I'm not going to tell you. You have to look it up on Board Game Geek. Followed closely by... Cows can't dance, but they like to be asked.
God.
That's the name of a game. Maybe you'd like Switzerland Must Be Swallowed.
as long as it's not Switz or Swallows.
No, absolutely. It's actually a war game, but there's a bit of a translation problem, I think.
Really?
There. Yes.
So or, are these all games in the 40K universe?
No. Although I'm not sure about this one. Knight of the Ill-Tempered Squirrel. How about, oh my God, exclamation mark, there's an axe in my head, the game of international diplomacy.
You found these on Board Game Geek.
Or, if you like your collectible card games, Excrement, the Splattering. How about Pain Doctors, the game of recreational surgery?
Now, I just want to ask, how the hell did you find these games? Mm. Were you just typing in, like, some really random hot keywords? No. Or was it going by your existing user history? I mean...
Believe it or not, there are some geek lists in there with interesting name games. Yeah. And look, it always comes back to with funny name games to me. There's just one that will never, ever be beaten. And I've mentioned it a couple of times on this show. This is better than Excrement, the Splattering. Absolutely. This is the title. A game where an enclosed short young lady, a perfect class representative, a slightly elder classy maid, a normal high school girl with the aura of a hamster, among others, try to win an unlucky-looking girl-faced butler with a debt of about 160 million yen. There's cross-dressing too. That is the title of the game, which is just a very innocent little Japanese card game, but that is the full title of the game.
It was also the title of Fiona Apple's last album. That for anyone who's you know, under 17 years of age who's listening, that's a joke from about 1993. ask your dad.
So, yeah. I mean, what about you guys? Have you come across any funny named games recently?
Well, I just remember looking in Trent's gaming pile and finding How to Be a Complete Bastard. And I just think that is a stupid game all over.
You're not familiar with that one?
Well, I am. I did do a little bit of research and The board is a lavatory. So that's a start.
So that was Adrian Edmondson from The Young
exactly
Ones.
Exactly right.
Who put that out. Yeah.
Yes. No, I just think that's a really perfect game, and we haven't played it. So no, we've got games after the show. Maybe
there's a good reason that we haven't played it.
I just think that's perfectly up your alley, Trent.
Mm.
Now, any more, Garth?
No, not from me.
Okay. Now, look, one more I will mention that doesn't have a funny name, but the premise behind this game just struck me as really interesting, and yet at the same time, so meta. I don't know if you've heard of this one. This is Millennium Blades.
No.
It's on Kickstarter, and it captures the feeling of being a pro CCG player.
Oh, yes.
So you're not playing a CCG, you're playing someone who plays CCGs.
What?
They've even created their own CCG in the game, and there's expansion, there's character sets, there's starter sets, there's expansions, there's premium sets. There's 500 cards in this thing, so they've basically invented their own version of Magic the Gathering.
Did you just tell me that this is a CCG about playing a CCG, and there's a CCG inside the CCG?
No, so it's not. It's not a CCG. The game itself is
just a CG. It's just a CG.
Yeah, it's okay, just a game.
Okay.
But it's about being a player in the pro tournament.
How do we explain what a CCG actually stands for?
So it's a collectible card game.
Right.
Think Magic the Gathering. Think Netrunner.
Yep.
Think Legends of the Five Rings. All those sort of Pokemon. All those games.
And there are very high level tournaments for these things. And even case of Magic, there are actual professional Magic players.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now you can pretend to be one.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I am not quite sure why they just didn't invent a CCG, because there probably would be a lot more money in that. But yeah, apparently you build your decks from this card pool. There's over 500 cards in this game. You build your decks, you play in local tournaments, you win your way up to national championships and even world championships. It's so meta, I just don't get it.
Millennium Blade. All right.
Wow. Anyway.
Our hobby is eating itself.
Well, it just sounds like CCG Inception sort of thing. It's just
absolutely. Yeah. And look, Trent.
Now, speaking of card games, I wanted to talk a little bit about a particular card game which gets a lot of gamers' blood boiling.
Yes.
Okay. And in fact, look, I'll just set this up now, and anyone who doesn't want to hear about this can just maybe turn the radio off or just skip ahead on the iPod or whatever. I'm going to talk a little bit about Munchkin.
Oh,
you said the M word.
All right. So just prepare yourself.
Hang on. I think you're going to talk more than a little bit, aren't you?
I've done a little bit of research.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the amount of money this game has made. All right, that's coming
okay.
up.
Okay. Let's have that coming up next, right after this. I'm sure we know someone who apologizes too often. That was Sarah Blasco. She is the queen of apology. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. Trent, you shouldn't apologise for talking about Munchkin because, hey, we all hate it. No, we don't.
Well, look, I wanted to give the Munchkin game a little bit of love on our show because...
What? Hang on, let me just turn your microphone down.
Look, it's the game that gamers love to hate because it's so ubiquitous now, and it's been around since, I think it's about 14, 15 years old now, and it's penetrated into the mainstream consciousness.
Mm.
If you talk to non-gamers about it, they might say, oh yeah, my nephew's got a game of Munchkin and we played that, and hey, it wasn't too bad, and we all roll our eyes and everything because we're uber nerds and, you know, we're living in the Android's dungeon and all that stuff. But in case you haven't heard about it, Munchkin is the mega hit card game about dungeon adventure, quote, with none of that stupid role-playing stuff. Now, that quote comes from worldofmunchkin.com.
Yep.
And how you react to that statement will pretty much determine whether or not you enjoy this game, I think. It's kick down the door, get the loot, kill the monster, that kind of thing. It's the Dungeons & Dragons experience distilled right down into two decks of cards.
And it's also, or at least initially it was very much a, can I say, piss take on
Definitely.
The radio.
Totally.
You know, a piss take of all those memes and all those tropes. And then obviously they brought out the various different versions of it.
Yep.
And then they were piss takes of more memes and tropes.
It's a spin-off. The very first Munchkin publication was in the year 2000. It was the Munchkin's Guide to Power Gaming. And it was a satirical little publication. And then people forget that when Munchkin first came out in 2001, it won an Origins Award for Best Traditional Card Game.
Really?
But of course, since then, it's now just exploded. It's available in 16 languages, and it's become a massive cash cow for its publishing company, the my beloved Steve Jackson Games, who would not be around today if it wasn't for Munchkin.
No, not at all.
It's kept them afloat.
Yeah, well, I did a little bit of looking at this as well, because when you mentioned you were going to talk about this, I thought, yeah, well that's great. Because Munchkin was one of the first of this style of game that I ever played. And yep. It would have been with yourself and Joel one weekend years ago. And I did. I had a great time. Apart from the fact that I got obliterated every single time.
That's Joel from ABC's Nerdzilla. He's exactly highly competitive. Right. Yeah.
Definitely. So, you know, I had a great time and I've come very close to buying it. Usually on eBay. And, you know, once the bid goes beyond about $10, I'll say, nah, that's too much.
And did you play the Kung Fu version with Joel? Because, of course, he's a Kung Fu aficionado as well.
Yes, we did do that one. But look, for Steve Jackson Games, Munchkin accounts for 29 of their top 40 products sold by dollar value. Mm. You know, so it is just a behemoth, if we want to say it, for Steve Jackson Games.
There's a complete list on the website, but if you ask them, and some of the guys, Andrew Hansard, who we've met, Mark, from Steve Jackson Games, gave an interview on ICV2, the website, recently, and he's not even sure how many separate Munchkin products there are. But the most popular ones, the core set, the deluxe version, and the Munchkin Legends games, those are Steve Jackson Games' top three products. In 2013, they printed 130,000 copies of the core Munchkin set.
Just the core set.
Right. Now, in 2014, they sold more than 200,000 units of that. It just grows and grows and grows. Between the years 2011 and 2014, sales of Munchkin tripled.
Oh, wow.
Tripled. This is a game that came out in 2001, may I remind you. In Steve Jackson's 2013 financial report, he said, and I quote, "In many ways, we are spending money stupidly because of the success of Munchkin."
Now, I'd argue they were spending money stupidly on Munchkin.
Well, the thing is, in that same year, Steve Jackson's games had a turnover of about $8.8 million US, and 75% of that turnover was all from Munchkin.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's completely right that he doesn't have to worry about the bottom line. They can make, you know, some risky choices, or they can, you know, try and make some projects that maybe aren't that crash hot, because they've got this just cash cow that just keeps on giving. It's just lucky for them.
And all of it is still in print constantly.
Yes.
Okay. And it shows no sign of slowing down. It's crossbreeding with other games now. You can get Munchkin Love Letter, Munchkin Gloom, Munchkin Smash Up.
Mm. Well, don't you have Munchkin Adventure Time?
I have had Munchkin Adventure Time, the cartoon. And this is, I played it on the weekend, all right? Because Pearl, my daughter, who's 8, doesn't want to play Mice and Mystics, okay? Because that takes too long.
Yep.
She wants to play Munchkin Adventure Time. Yeah. And listen, she's 8. She's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Who am I to argue with her?
Exactly.
Right? She knows what she wants to do. You know, I just have to kind of grin and bear it, I suppose. I mean, Adventure Time's fine, you know, it's a bit of fun. And we sit around and play in 20 minutes and it's over and done. And sometimes she wins and she doesn't mind if she loses.
And I guess hats off to them for keeping it going and keeping enough new interest coming into it. Because clearly, like we said, you know, new games are for new gamers. We've said that before. Clearly, new people are discovering it all the time.
And that's why we have to kind of drop some of the elitism around it. And sure, if you go to, like, BorderCon, the gaming convention that we're going to in Aubrey, and you drop Munchkin on the table, you're going to be laughed out of the room.
Yes.
Okay, but it has a place for bringing people into the hobby. And particularly, you know, so I'm playing Munchkin Adventure Time with Pearl. Now, the Adventure Time cartoon has got so many Dungeons & Dragons tropes in it, the swords of demon blood and all that kind of tripe. And because Pearl's now watched Dad and Garth
Doing real role playing.
Doing some role playing around the table, God help us.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, like I say, she's 8, she's not yet old enough to realise that we're huge dorks. She's now interested in trying some role playing.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's you know, maybe just waiting another year or two and finding a system that works for her, and then seeing if, you know, her friend's parents will allow me to actually Oh yes, so don't worry, everybody. I'm very experienced in Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm a semi-professional wizard.
So that's an awkward...
Or a Goliath paladin, perhaps.
Hey.
An awkward conversation that I have to look forward to. And I have Munchkin to thank for it.
I agree, and I can certainly see my son playing Adventure Time Munchkin as well. I mean, he hasn't, but I reckon he'd love it.
Let's just keep it in the family. How about that?
Exactly.
Right. Okay, hang on and don't go anywhere.
Oh! Mark, okay.
Now, apparently this is a classic song.
Oh, God.
Hanging on the Telephone by Blondie. Now, Mark, how are those buttons doing?
Oh,
you seem to be
well.
So focused, so in the zone, you weren't even listening to a word that Trent and I were saying during this whole Munchkin conversation. Couldn't press the button.
One button malfunction. Just one, that's all it takes.
Well, it's one a week.
Damn it.
It's a good average.
We should explain that Mark's pushing the buttons on the show tonight after my grievous errors.
Two of them.
Over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. Two errors for the first time in 70 episodes, and now I'm exiled to the other
exactly.
side of the desk. Mark being exemplary tonight.
Exactly right. But don't you wish you could just take back those mistakes?
Oh. What, and like...
Just pretend they never happened?
That'd be nice.
Yeah?
That'd be nice. If only there was some kind of card that I could play...
That's a really good idea.
That allowed me to do that.
Yeah.
That is a fabulous idea. Which brings us to the Dice Men Cometh Take Backsy card, our first bit of official merchandise for the podcast.
And it's even free.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And it's useful. That's the main thing, because it obviously, on one side, it has, you know, a bit of our self-promotion, Dice Men Cometh. It has our Twitter handle.
It's well disguised as a business card.
It is.
But it's not just, in fact, a business card.
On the back, this thing is amazing. You guys, I know you've used it plenty of times, because what it allows you, Trent, it allows you to take back that mistake, that turn that you shouldn't have had.
Yes, well, in some cases, I've been forced to use it, but we won't go into those details. The idea of the Dice Men Take Backsy card is that when you make an error in one of your favourite games and your turn is finished and someone else's go has begun and you suddenly realise, oh no, I didn't mean to do that. Can I just change this one thing? It won't change anything in the game, I promise. We make you play a card to do that. Once per game, you're allowed to do that. And when you play the card, you've got to mark off a little tick box on there. You have 13 chances on our Dice Men Take Backsy card.
You do.
To take back one of your goes. And then, well, we might just leave that for a surprise.
Yeah, but the fun starts.
Yeah.
And what game can you use it in, Trent?
Any game.
Any game?
Any game ever. Anywhere. Ever. Any game at all.
Really?
The rules that are printed on the card state that quite clearly.
Well, that was actually good, because I was playing the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game a couple of nights ago, and we had to get our GM to do a little take-backsy.
Right.
So we used it in the role-play.
Excellent.
Which was great. Yeah, it became very handy, and he marked off his first little square.
So you can think of it as a way of tallying up your mistakes, and it's just an excuse to rag on the people that you're playing with, of course. And we've just printed up a bunch of these, and we want to hand them out to our listeners. All right,
exactly.
So we've recently run a couple of competitions to give away some games here with thanks to Grail Games and with thanks to mates at Area 52 who supplied one for us as well. So we got a bunch of people's email addresses and home addresses from that, and we're going to mail those people some copies of these Take Back Sea cards. All right,
yep.
And they're just a little envelope of business cards. All right, but we'd like to send out more of them.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to be in
Melbourne
this weekend. Playing some games with some friends, but I'm also hoping to get around a couple of game stores, see if they're interested in taking some just to give away. And look, we'd love you to get some of these. And if you think that a game store in your area would like to have some, as I said, you know, there's no cost involved. We'll happily send them to you to take into the game store to give away. It's a talking point around the table. It's a bit of fun. When you read the rules, you'll see it's a lot of fun. Yeah, we hope you might be interested.
And honestly, it's also just obviously a way for us to spread the word about our show, which we're trying to build our audience, and we're asking, you know, the people who listen to us now, download the show, who listen live, who stream, what have you, to, you know, maybe just pass one of these to a mate. And if you think there's someone who might enjoy the show, pass it to them. They can at least use the card and get some take-backsies.
Definitely.
And, you know, maybe get them onto a podcast or show they like.
Absolutely. Now, we are out of here. We've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
Bye!
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.